The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello. This is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh News and Observer, the Triangle Gardener Magazine, Dave's Garden Website, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, and if we have time, from The Garden Smarts by Shelley Goldblum. And we'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer. This article is by Lane Silaba. Advice on how to keep deer away from your yard. Deer seem to always find their way into gardens, and it's especially a problem in the South. Nathan Wilson, manager and lead horticulturalist at Lanier Nursery and Gardens in Flowery Branch, Georgia, has answered question after question on how to get rid of what he calls 200-pound pests. He recently hosted a lecture offering ideas to do just that. We're building roads, we're building buildings, our homes, and we are going into the woodlands, where deer are naturally living, Wilson said. Since that space is decreasing and going away, now they're living in our backyards, essentially. He said he tries to always offer safe, economic alternatives to deterring deer, but knows most people just want a quick fix. He said that won't happen. For pests like deer with such a long life cycle, homeowners have to use more than one method. A lot of times, people are just looking for this magic spray. Just give me this one spray that will solve all my problems, Wilson said. Well, the reality is there's not just one magic spray for a pest. And essentially, the deer have become a pest in the garden. He said there are many helpful tips when it comes to getting rid of deer. Obviously, there's what Wilson calls lead poisoning or shooting the deer. But that's not always an option during the off-season or in neighborhoods. One of the main ways people can make sure deer stay out of their garden is to use physical barriers. These barriers can come from any number of things, like typical fencing or even electric fencing. There's also something Wilson calls a web of confusion, which is a cheaper alternative. You could use fishing line and wrap it around the plants, almost like netting, Wilson said. And once they touch their nose on that, they cannot get a good idea of what it is, and so they just leave it alone. Another way to get rid of deer is simply by frightening them. And that's where Wilson said homeowners can get creative. At the end of Halloween season, these little motion sensor noisemakers, they go on sale, Wilson said. If you were to hide them in your garden as a deer walks by and the motion scares them, they'll flee. There are also different motion sensor irrigation systems for sale online and in hardware stores, Wilson said would get the job done, too. Careful selection and combinations of plants in the yard and garden will help keep deer away. Wilson said it's all about smell and taste, so choosing plants that do not appeal to those senses is the place to start. Herbs with strong smells, like rosemary and thyme, are helpful, as well as anise shrubs, which have a licorice-like smell. Plants with thick, leathery leaves, like magnolia and holly, or plants with fuzzy or spiny textures are a good option, too. He said the plants to avoid are hostas and hydrangeas, which are like candy bars to deer. But if homeowners are going to use those plants, it's best to bring them closer to the home. Deer are less likely to go that far. What I tell people is, take these plants we know deer do not like or are less likely to enjoy, and essentially create a border away from the house, Wilson said. As the deer walks down your property line, they're going to be looking at the plants you have there, and they're not going to want to be around. Smelly repellents can be used, too. Typically, they are made with things like garlic oil, clove oil, or spicy flavors. Wilson also said to be careful with expansive lawns. Deer like to see everything around them, so in large, open yards, they feel safe. You want to complicate the design, Wilson said. Create islands or borders in the lawn so deer are able to get distracted or scared so they do not want to go in there. Wilson said there are a lot of good options out there, but the main point is knowing that choosing just one of them will not work. Homeowners have to use more than one deterrent in order to have success in keeping their garden safe. We're going to have to try and attack it on many different levels, Wilson said. You can use any one of these, but one of them is probably not sufficient. And from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. It will never rain roses. When we want to have more roses, we must plant more trees. George Eliot said that. Choosing Heat-Resistant Lettuce Varieties by Anna Burke. This summer, enjoy lettuce and tomatoes at the same time with these heat-tolerant lettuce varieties. Growing lettuce in heat is difficult. If you crave lettuce late in summer, read on. Here's a few tips on how to keep lettuce going longer with a few heat-tolerant varieties to give your lettuce the edge it needs to battle heat. By the time August rolls around, lettuces are bolting right and left. Summer's too hot for many lettuce varieties, but there are several heat-resistant lettuces hardy enough to keep your lettuce cravings satisfied all summer long. The key to a delicious summer lettuce is recognizing when lettuce is bolting. It's happiest in temperatures that remain in 60s. After that, most lettuces tuck tail and bolt right out of your garden. Bolting is used to describe a lettuce that has gone to seed. In hot temps, lettuces put their energy into seed production instead of juicy, leafy greens for your table. The plant does not form a tight, harvest-ready head. Instead, it grows upward. The centered stalk elongates, spacing the leaves out and resembling kale more than lettuce. It then forms the flower that develops into the seed stalk. Leaves turn bitter during this process, making it inedible and disappointing. Sometimes, lettuce turns bitter before obvious signs of bolting occur. If you have any doubt, taste the leaves. Before you choose a heat-tolerant lettuce, think about your garden plan. Full sun in spring is an excellent idea, but it makes less sense in late summer when days are long and hot. Choose a location that receives morning sun and afternoon shade to reduce heat stress. Shade cloth is an alternative if your garden does not have a shady location. This fabric provides 30 to 40% shade, depending on the grade. Use wire hoops or metal hoops from your cold frames to keep the cloth over the plant. Secure the cloth with clothespins. Lettuce germinates best in shade and in cool soil. Your hot garden does not provide the ideal starting situation. So start your seeds indoors and transition them outdoors slowly. Container gardening offers another solution. Simply pick up your lettuce and move it into shade in the afternoon, or drape a shade cloth over each container to keep your lettuce cool. waiting for lettuce to fully head in a heat wave is a recipe for disaster. So in truly hot weather, cut lettuce young for baby greens instead of waiting for it to head. Cut and come again varieties are not a bad plan for summer production. When they start tasting bitter, call it quits and move on to your next lettuce succession. The lettuce family is composed of butterhead lettuce, leaf lettuce, oak leaf lettuce, and romaine lettuce. There are varieties within each family that are more heat resistant than others. Most companies provide information about their products in their catalogs or their websites. Heat-resistant varieties almost always are labeled heat-resistant. The following varieties are heat-tolerant lettuces I have personally had success with or that receive good reviews from the seed companies I tend to use. It doesn't mean they are the definitive or only varieties out there. Check with your preferred seed provider to see what they recommend or carry. Butterhead lettuce. Butterheads are moderately heat tolerant as a rule. They hold out longer than most other lettuces, with the exception of loose leaf varieties, and maintain their sweet taste. For summer growing, consider Skyfoes, Adriana, Buttercrunch Bib, Captain Bib, or Red Cross. Crisp head lettuce. Crisp head lettuce do not love warm temperatures. They tend to be more difficult to grow, despite being the most popular type of lettuce. No need to sweat. There are a few varieties that stand up well in the heat. Try Nevada, Ananew Batavian, or Sierra Batavian. Leaf and oak leaf. Loose leaf lettuces are nutritious and heat tolerant. Plus, they are more forgiving of poor soil and imperfect growing conditions, making them easy to grow. Green Star, Magenta, Bronze Arrow loose leaf, Red Salad Bowl oak leaf, and oak leaf loose leaf lettuce are all heat tolerant varieties that do well in late summer. Romaine. Romaine lettuce is sometimes tricky to grow in the heat, although it is relatively heat tolerant. Look for romaine varieties developed in hotter regions, like Jericho, a variety developed in Egypt. Other heat-tolerant romaine lettuces include Ananew and Coastal Star. You can have lettuce and tomatoes at the same time. With shade cloth, careful garden planning, and the right variety, you can enjoy crisp, fresh lettuce into the fall. From the Triangle Gardener, Oak Leaf Hydrangea, Queen of the Shade, by Dale Batchelor. Regal is an adjective we might use to describe a majestic oak or rather large tree, but it's not usually the first word that comes to mind when viewing flowering shrubs. Nevertheless, I felt the need to curtsy, if not bow down, when I first saw a magnificent grouping of oak leaf hydrangea at my father-in-law's house in West Alabama. The shrub's bright white flowers gleamed in a shady corner of his woodland garden. Although oak leaf hydrangeas were new to me on that occasion almost 30 years ago, they have been making their way into gardens since before 1800. The shrub was discovered and named by the colonial plant explorer William Bartram, who found it growing on a riverbank in central Georgia. Oak leaf hydrangea's natural ranges from Georgia south to Florida, west to Louisiana, but the shrub is most plentiful in Mississippi and Alabama, where it is designated the state's official wildflower. Oak leaf was immediately popular after Bartram wrote about it in 1791, describing it as singular and beautiful, although these hail from farther south, oak leaf hydrangeas are perfectly at home in the triangle. Very few plants offer as much for shady gardens. Large white flowers peak in June are just the beginning of the show. As summer progresses, the flowers age from white to shades of pink to deep rose. The plant's sturdy leaves resemble those of oak trees and provide beautiful fall color, often a deep burgundy on plants that receive a bit of morning sun. After the leaves have fallen, the shrub's structure and exfoliating bark lend texture and interest all winter. Oak leaf hydrangea is truly a majestic shrub. The species typically reaches feet tall and wide in size, while some selections, including Alice, can reach 12 feet tall and wide in the right setting. Their large size makes oak leaf hydrangeas ideal understory plants in woodland gardens with spaces to fill. However, in smaller gardens, their ranginess can make them too much of a good thing. Fortunately, gardeners and nurserymen have identified a number of selections compact enough to fit in almost any garden. Pee-wee is a selection discovered in the Alabama sandhills that matures at about 4 feet tall and wide. Two recent introductions from the U.S. National Arboretum, Ruby Slippers and Munchkin, are also compact in size, but feature larger, showier flowers than Pee-wee. Munchkin holds its flowers upright, and Ruby Slippers is noted for the speed with which the flowers go from white to pink to rose. Size is not the only attribute that has led to named selections of oak leaf hydrangea. Amethyst was chosen by Georgia plantsman Michael Durr for the flower's quick transition from white to pink. While typical oak leaf growth habit is a bit sprawling, Snow Queen has an upright form and holds its flowers erect. In contrast, Snowflake, discovered near Hoover, Alabama, has 15-inch long flowers that can bend the shrub's branches to the ground. These enormous blooms with multiple bracts that look like double flowers are irresistible to gardeners who enjoy arranging flowers. When sighted correctly, oak leaf hydrangeas require very little attention. They are drought-tolerant once established, but often need supplemental watering the first 2 years, especially in sunnier spots. In the triangle area, they thrive in morning or filtered sunlight with shade in the afternoon. Oak leaf hydrangeas also perform well in all but the deepest shade. While not fussy about soil types, sand or clay is okay. Oak leaf hydrangeas do require good drainage. I learned this lesson the hard way after killing two of them in a wet spot. Subsequently, I planted Alice on a slope in a high canopy shade where it has been happy for almost 20 years. Pruning oak leaf should be limited to removing dead wood and minimal shaping. If pruning is necessary, it should be done by July because the shrubs bloom on old wood. Blooms remain attractive into winter, but may be deadheaded in late winter or early spring. Oak leaf is not a deer favorite, though spraying with a repellent may be necessary depending on your amount of deer grazing. Many people, including myself, consider oak leaf hydrangea to be the most beautiful shrub native to North America. Thanks to the many selections that have been introduced, there's a spot for this regal beauty in almost any garden. Now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Gardening for Children, Growing Vegetables from Seed. Creating a love and knowledge of gardening is a wonderful thing to cultivate in children. They love growing, especially when they see results quickly and easily. These vegetables are our top choices to encourage gardening with children. They're easy to grow from seed, which means a quick and cheap project that's sure to satisfy. Sugar snap peas. Get your garden going early in the season. These will be one of the first ready to harvest in very early spring. Sweet-tasting peas can be eaten straight off the vine, and the hulls are tender and sweet. Radish. The quickest maturing of the cole crops. Radishes are ready to be harvested about 30 days from the time you plant your seeds. Kids are often delighted and amazed at the difference between the radish seed and the fruit it produces. They may or may not enjoy eating the peppery vegetables raw, but they'll love the experience. Pumpkins, from large to small. Pumpkins are loved no matter which size. Plant these fun vegetables in the late summer for a fall crop. We recommend planting some for carving and some small ones for the best results in baking. Cucumbers. This cool and crunchy vegetable is a great addition to a kid's garden. Given a support, cucumbers are very easy vine to grow from seed. They generally take 50 to 70 days from planting to production, but are well worth the wait. Be aware they hate frost, so plant seeds once all danger of frost has passed and the soil has warmed up. To get a head start on your garden, cucumbers are a wonderful plant for children to start indoors up to 3 weeks before planting outside. Watermelon. Nearly every child loves melons, especially watermelons. These delicious summer fruits are much easier to grow than you may realize. The vines do not need support. They can grow right on the ground. Make sure they get plenty of water and sunlight. However, be aware the vines grow quickly and densely and can therefore overtake and choke out other plants. Plan ahead. Seeds can be started in a small container or pot and transplanted out after frost, or can be started from seed planted right in the ground after all danger of frost is past. Beans. Beans are one of the easiest plants to grow from seed and are the perfect plant to observe the growth cycle of a plant. Whether you choose a bush or a vining variety, beans will grow quickly and easily once the warm weather is here to stay. As an added bonus, eat your beans becomes much more fun when you grow them yourself. And now from Garden Smarts by Shelley Goldblum, pleasing the palate with herbs. Green basil pesto is elegant, simple to make, and absolutely scrumptious on spaghetti or any sort of pasta. While basil is fresh in the summer, suggests Donna Fuss of Bloomfield, Connecticut, make pesto to freeze for later. Here's how. Donna Fuss's No Fuss Pesto. 2 cups packed fresh basil, 1/2 cup olive oil, 3 garlic cloves peeled, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese set aside. Put the basil and garlic through a food processor or blender and add olive oil a few spoonfuls at a time until well blended into a thick, coarse paste. To serve, toss with cooked, drained pasta and Parmesan cheese. The pesto can be frozen for future use. Small containers allow for quick defrosting. Don't be afraid to experiment and adjust amounts to please your palate. Author's note, for really speedy defrosting, freeze pesto in ice cube trays. Once the pesto has frozen, remove from trays, bag, and seal. And if you prefer a mildly flavored pesto, mix freshly chopped parsley with basil. For an herb that does double duty, plant coriander, suggests Renee Shepherd of Shepherd's Garden Seeds Mail Order House. Coriander seed is a popular, traditional spice in curries and cookies, but many people do not realize that the bright green cilantro is essential to many Mexican and Asian dishes, is coriander leaf. All cilantro grows quickly from leaf to seed, sow succession, sow every few weeks for a continuous supply. It will be most abundant in cool conditions, notes Renee. For a fun plant to grow, try licorice mint. Anise Hyssop, suggests Terry Kemp of God's Green Acres Herbary and Gifts. It makes a really nice tea. You can add it to fruit salad and even use it as a breath freshener. It's good in anything that calls for a licorice / anise type of flavor. This hardy perennial is easy to grow, but Terry cautions it's best to confine it somewhat because it propagates by dropping seeds, and one plant will produce hundreds. Mary Jane Randolph's Summer Memories Herb Vinegar. If you grow dill, you can make an herb vinegar that's wonderful for an oil and vinegar dressing on salads, says Mary Jane Randolph. Here's how. Let the dill grow until the plants have pretty-looking heads starting to flower. Don't wait till they've gone to seed. Cut off the blossoms, leaving about half an inch of stem. Put the blossom heads into empty bottles. It's easiest to insert them stem side down, pushing the blossom gently with a pencil. To each bottle, add one peeled garlic clove. If you grow mint, add one leaf. Then, pour in white vinegar. It doesn't have to be a fancy, expensive kind. Your grocery's house brand is fine. Fill to just above the shoulder of the bottle and screw on the lid. Make a temporary label with a small piece of masking tape, writing the date and the name of the vinegar on it. Store in a dark place such as a cupboard or cellar for a minimum of 3 months, the longer the better. Small sweet vermouth bottles are ideal herb vinegar containers because the herbs look so beautiful through the pale green glass. But be sensitive. I have several friends who are recovering alcoholics. For them, I use empty lemon juice or salad dressing bottles instead, Mary Jane says. Author's note. Soy sauce, Worcestershire, and wine vinegar bottles are also good choices. And a little tip, my grandmother, Fania Metrick, put her used tea bags in the dirt of her potted plants, and they flourished. She had a real green thumb, recalls pediatric neurologist Michelle Metrick of Chicago, Illinois. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long, until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.